Man, one of my favorite songs. Appreciate that tonight very, very much. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll use this as a starting point. Genesis chapter 4. Something a little different tonight. Again, we quote A.W. Tozer a lot when we talk about God, and the most important thing about you is your understanding of who God is. I think about David, when David said in Psalm 8, he said, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How excellent is thy name in all the earth." In Genesis chapter 4, look with me in verse 26. Genesis 4, 26. "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Turn over to Genesis 21 and look at verse 33. Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." Abraham called there on the name of the Lord. I know sometimes we don't give this much thought, but do you understand that when the Lord was using Moses to write the first five books of the Bible, that God was reorienting Israel with who they were, but also was reorienting Israel with who he was? And understand and know that if you meet God for the first time, what is his name? What is his name? And that's why you have there in Genesis chapter 4, where it says, "And after Seth and Enos," there it says, "and men began to call upon the name of the Lord." And then you have Abraham here who said he called there on the name of the Lord. One of the great ways in the Old Testament in which God let himself be known to his to man was through his names. And we've covered some of these before, but tonight I want to cover a few of the Old Testament names, and of course they apply to the New Testament as well. Names of God. And therefore, they help us to understand who God is. Helps us to understand more about him. That's what we know, that God wants us to know him. Does that make sense? God wants us to know him. And in the Old Testament, the way in which God revealed himself to the Old Testament saints was through his names. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. What are his names? Again, God wants us to know him. The more our view of God is correct, the clearer picture we get of who God is impacts our life on every level. I think about Kevin and Michelle Davis tonight in the hospital there with Reagan. And Reagan struggled with this appendectomy when she first had it, and then had a infection after infection. And when you go through something like that, your view of God is going to impact how you react to those issues and how you react to problems. Amen. Is your God big enough? Absolutely. And so we need a proper view. The clearer and better we understand who God is will impact our entire life. Everything about us is impacted by our view of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray as we just go over these very simple truths tonight. May God, you impact us in a great way. And Lord, we so thank you that you want us to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So they began to call upon the name of the Lord, to worship him. Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. We think about Seth and others who began to call upon the name of the Lord. And then we have the Mosaic Law in Exodus chapter 20. And there, God gave Moses a detailed understanding of what the law is. And again, one of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in what? In vain." So the Old Testament saints began to call upon the name of the Lord. Then they were given a law that says don't take the Lord's name in vain. And again, that means not to use the word, not to use the name of God in a dishonoring way or in a disparaging way. It also means vain. It also means not to take the name of the Lord in a frivolous way. And again, I've mentioned this before. I'm going to be very careful that this is my opinion. This is also Charles Haddon Spurgeon's opinion. But just to say I've never used a curse word, I've never take the Lord's name in vain, as you and I would think, and using it in a cursing manner, does not negate us from using the name of God frivolously. In other words, to use it in vain. And one of the areas in which you got to be careful about is using the name Lord or using the name God in a manner that is not honoring to Him. And one of the ways in which I think we do that sometimes if we're not careful is in our prayers. And after this, I don't want everybody to go, well, he just prayed the way the preacher told him not to. Again, it's between you and the Lord, and please don't take this the way. But I just want to give you an example of how possibly we can take the name of the Lord in vain, even though we don't realize we're doing it. So when we use the word Lord in a way that is frivolous, such as when you pray, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this, and Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this, and Lord, and you use Lord about 25 times in your prayer. I'm not saying that's taking the names Lord in vain per se, but it could be. If you're using that name without thinking about it, if you're using that name as a filler word, and when I heard that years ago and I read that Charles Haddon Spurgeon using those terms and saying we ought to be careful when we pray, that we don't use the name of God in a frivolous manner, I began to use pray as my filler word. And I still use Lord as my filler word sometimes. And again, I don't think the Lord's going to, come on, please. I know men in here and ladies in here that use, please don't, all right? But I'm just saying, just because you don't take the name of the Lord in vain in a cursing manner does not negate us and free us from using the Lord's name in vain. Everybody with me? Amen? Don't take the name of God frivolously. Don't use it in a disparaging way or in a frivolous way, dishonoring Him. Call upon the name of the Lord. What are His names? What are His names? How is He to be called? Well, He gave His names to them, many, many different names. One of the first ones was Elohim. The term Elohim is used 2,310 times as the name of the true God. As the name of the true God. It means strength, might. And the one we use, the definition we use the most when it comes to Elohim is supreme deity. Supreme deity. It really does mean three in one. It's the plurality of the Godhead, Elohim. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That word for God, the name for God there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is Elohim. And it's talking about that all three of the persons of the Godhead were involved in creation. So God uses His name, Elohim, in that particular verse because it describes what is happening there. Elohim, the supreme deity, the three in one. This name is used in relation to His sovereignty. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5 says, "The God of the whole earth shall He be called." He is the God of the whole earth. Elohim. The Creator God, the one who made it all. And He is God, He's Lord over it all. And then the name is used in relation to His judging. In Psalm 50 and verse 6 and also Psalm 58, it says, "For God is judge Himself." And then verse 58, chapter 58 says, "God that judgeth in the earth." In other words, Elohim, supreme deity, three in one, creator of all, and the boss. He's the authority. He's God over all. And that's what He's saying. He is the one who judges the whole earth. I'm thankful for a righteous judge, aren't you? I'm thankful one day that a true righteous judge will judge the earth physically. He will reign from Jerusalem. He'll sit on the throne of David. And we will have a righteous and just judge. But now he is the judge of the whole earth. Elohim. Elohim. And then secondly, we have Jehovah. Jehovah. This is always a good reminder too, because the King James Version helps us with this. And when you see the word, the name Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Have you ever noticed, some of you may not know this, so some of you in your King James Bible, you'll see the word Lord, the name Lord all, in all caps. You'll see it just capitalized the first letter and then lowercase. Well, if it's all capital letters, it's referring to God as Jehovah. So the King James translators did it this way to help us know when he's using Jehovah versus when he's using his other name, one of his other names. And so in all capitals, this is the most frequently used name, Jehovah. It occurs 5,000 times in the Old Testament. Jehovah. Jehovah. It means to be or being. He is the self-existent one. He is absolutely self-existent. The one in whom himself possesses life and permanent existence. Turn to Isaiah 43 with me. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Look with me in verse, we'll begin reading in verse 10. He is the self-existent one. You understand and know that God doesn't need you, and God doesn't need me. He needs no one. He doesn't need a Dollar General. I need a Dollar General. Where am I going to get Bluebell ice cream at? I need a Walmart. I mean, I've got to have food in order to exist. I need water. I have to have water. I can't exist without it. God needs nothing. He is the self-existent one. Isaiah 43, look with me, verse 10. And ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And listen to this. And beside me there is no Savior. He is the self-existent one. There was no God before him. There'll be no God after him. He is the self-existent one. He is God. Amen. There is no other God. He is the God of all. Jehovah God. This has significance in that it shows us in relation to him, his stability. Micah chapter 3 verse 6, Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. He is Jehovah, therefore he is immutable. He never changes. It's put like this for us in the New Testament. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. God never changes. He's always the same. He is Jehovah God, the self-existent one. He's not changed. He's not, how am I going to put it? He's not affected by his environment. I don't know about you, but tomorrow there's going to be pressure on me in the morning. I'm going to get up, come to work, and we actually are flying tomorrow to go to the Norris Fall Fellowship meeting in Michigan, myself and Brother Wiggins, and the president has to be there, so I guess I got to be there. And so I'm going to hear preaching the next two or three days and support the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary, and there's going to be some pressure. Y'all pray for me, would you? I get to preach on Wednesday, so it's going to be great. I'm going to enjoy it as well, but there's pressure, right? And I'm affected by that pressure. Some people, when they get under pressure, it does certain things to them, like makes you hungry. Right? Some people get under pressure, get under stress, and they eat stress, right? Bluebell ice cream. Some people get under pressure, and it affects us. Our environment affects us. Nothing affects God. The person that you rely on, the God that you're relying on is not affected by anything. I'm just talking about what we are affected by. Hello? By the way, he is affected by some things. We won't go into that tonight. But not affected by stress like we are. He doesn't worry. I'm glad he's affected by our love. And I could go into some other things, but not affected in the way that's detrimental. He never changes. He's always the same. This name is used in relation to his holiness and righteousness. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, he says, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, Jehovah, your God, Jehovah, am holy." He's holy. He's holy other. Habakkuk chapter 1, he spells out the same thing, that the significance is that God is holy. God is holy. And then, thirdly, we have Adonai. Adonai. When you see in your Bible, the King James Version, again, Lord, with the first letter capitalized and the rest in small letters, this is referring to God's name, Adonai. It is used over 300 times in the Old Testament and hundreds of times in the New Testament in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament equivalent is the same as the Old Testament. It's amazing to me how the Greek word and the Hebrew word are very equivalent to each other. Their meanings are the same. Adonai, it means Lord, Master, Owner. Again, it conveys to us that God is the absolute authority. The absolute authority. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Some of y'all know these verses here, but Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah chapter 6, look with me. Let's start in verse 8. Isaiah said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me." Remember, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips." It changed him. So, "Lord, send me." Verse 9, and he said, "Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of the people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I to go do this? And he's answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Lord, what would you have me to do? Why would Isaiah say that? Because God is the absolute authority. We are accountable to Him. He is Creator. He's Lord over all. Hello? God is the absolute authority. The absolute authority. His name is used in the New Testament in relation to Master. Master. In other words, that God is boss. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord, Adonai, is. Why? Why would Paul say that? Why would he say you need to understand what the will of the Lord is? Because the Lord is boss. He's master. And we are to yield to Him. But it also has in relation to God being master, but also caring for His children. 2 Timothy 4:17 says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." The Lord, Adonai, stood with me and strengthened me. And Paul said, no man stood with him, but the Lord did. So it can have, not only is he master, but he also is one who cares for his children. He cares for us. Lord Adonai was with me, Paul said, to strengthen me. I'm thankful he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Right? He was in the minivan with Brother Jonathan and his family today. The Lord protects us. He strengthens us. He's Adonai. He's master. He's the one in control. Therefore, us stood by him. Elohim, God creator, the strength and mighty one. Jehovah, the self-existent one, and therefore immutable. And therefore we can trust him. I change with the weather. Depending on how I feel, changes my attitude. But God never changes. We can put our trust in him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ever. Adonai, master. Again, we should seek his will. You seek his will, he'll stand by you. And then fourthly, El Shaddai. This became popular when I was a kid because their song came out by a particular artist whom I don't think fondly of at all, but came out called El Shaddai. And El Shaddai, the name of God, is derived from the word El, meaning God, and Shaddai, meaning Almighty. It means the Almighty God, the Almighty One. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, Abraham refers to God, the Almighty, the Almighty. The word El, by the way, is the root form which has received the name Elohim. So we mentioned that a moment ago, Elohim, meaning strength and power. The simple word El is translated God over 200 times in the scripture. The word Shaddai is derived from Hebrew word translated breast. The word simply signifies one who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies. When Shaddai is connected with El, it then becomes, here you go, one mighty to nourish, satisfy, and supply. El Shaddai, our God, the one who nourishes us, the one who satisfies us, the one who supplies. We see this in the story of Isaac when he blessed Jacob. Remember the story when Jacob stole Esau's birthright? And in Genesis chapter 28, if you want to turn there, I'm still in Genesis. I stayed in there on purpose. Look at Genesis 28. Look at verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And what? God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. We say the same blessing is given to him to Jacob in chapter 35 and verse 11. The El Shaddai to make thee fruitful. We see the same equivalent in John chapter 15 when God talks about us being fruitful, that we should be fruitful and multiply. El Shaddai enables us to multiply. It is God who empowers us, who strengthens us, enables us, nourishes us, satisfies, and supplies the need that we have. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How are we going to do that? We can't do that on our own. And it's God, El Shaddai, who nourisheth us and the one who satisfies us. He is the one who supplies us and enables us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. On Jacob's deathbed, he began to bless his sons. And to Joseph, he used this name for God, El Shaddai. That God would nourish Joseph. That God would satisfy and supply the needs of Joseph's. And this is the words he said. The arms of his, that is Joseph's hands, were made strong by the hands of the mighty God, even by the God of thy father, El Shaddai. In other words, Jacob, here it is. When Jacob is hearing this, or when Joseph is hearing this from Jacob, he's hearing the word El Shaddai. He's hearing the name El Shaddai. So here's Jacob on his deathbed speaking to his son. As he's speaking to his son, he uses the name for God, El Shaddai. When we read it, it just simply says God, but Joseph would have heard El Shaddai. Everybody see that? So it has significance. Jacob could have used Elohim, or he could have used Jehovah, or he could have used Adonai, but he used El Shaddai. So it does bring out a little more flavor, if you would, to that particular scripture. Everybody see that, maybe? Maybe that's helping a little more. I see maybe a little more lights coming on. I said, "Preacher, why are you teaching all this?" Because he would have heard El Shaddai, not God. He would have heard El Shaddai. So when he is saying that to his son Joseph, who had been sold by his brothers into slavery, who had been accused of immorality from Potiphar's wife, and then thrown into prison, and now his father's on his deathbed, Jacob's on his deathbed, and as Jacob is blessing his son Joseph, he says to Joseph that El Shaddai, the Almighty God, will make you strong and make your hand strong, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, El Shaddai, who shall bless thee with blessings of the breast and of the womb. He's hearing that El Shaddai, that God is going to bless him. El Shaddai is going to bless him. This same term is used 245 times in the New Testament. And one in whom is a male parent or holds parental relationship through adoption. Galatians chapter 4 and 5 talks about us being adopted into the family of God. Adopted. And that we become children of God. Adoption gives us our position as a child of God. Romans chapter 8. It is God, our Father, who nourisheth us as he nourisheth, as you would nourish a child. El Shaddai. It is God who supplies our needs. El Shaddai. It is God who strengthens us. El Shaddai. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, this is used in reference to God giving grace and peace to his children. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it's given in reference to God giving gifts to his children. All good gifts come from above. And then 2 John chapter 4, it's in reference to the Father giving his children his word, capital W-O-R-D. And then in Ephesians 2:18, he gives his children opportunity to fellowship with him through prayer. So we have opportunity to go to God and fellowship with the El Shaddai, the one who nourisheth us, the one who supplies us our needs. I'm thankful for El Shaddai, aren't you? The God who nourisheth, the God who supplies. And then several other names that are used in the Bible, such as Theos, 1 Timothy 1:17, and then Jehovah Jireh, most of y'all remember that one, found in Genesis chapter 22. God supplies the names there. God will provide. You understand that God will provide? Where's the sacrifice, Abraham, Isaac asked? God will provide himself a lamb. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. I'm thankful God provides for us. Jehovah Shalom, you've heard that Shalom, Jewish phrase. God is peace. God is the one who gives us peace. And then Jehovah Nisi, God is my banner. And we can spend some time there as God is my banner. He is the banner we should hold high, right? He's the ensign. Nobody remember that sermon I preached on this, but I did preach on it. God is our banner. He is our ensign. We are to hold him high. He is to be held high by all of us, to raise the banner. Man, what a great God we serve. God Jehovah, the self-existent one. God Adonai, Master. The God who provides and supplies for us, the God who takes care of us and nourisheth us, that's the God we serve. And he has described over and over and over again to us that we might know him more, that we might understand him more. We'll never completely understand him, but understand him more. How big is your God? How big is your God? Is he able to overcome whatever is in your life tonight? Is he able to overcome that detour that's happened in your life? How big is your God? Is your God able to supply the need if you lost your job or you've got cancer? Is God able to supply your need? Is God your master? Is he the one that directs your life? Or have you prayed and sought his will as to what his will is for your life? Do you view God as your father who nourisheth and strengthens you? I'm glad we have a God who cares. Let's all stand.